We're going all the way to the end of our Bible, Revelation 21. Revelation 21, the next to last chapter in the Word of God. And I want to read a few verses for our text there this morning, beginning with verse 15 down through verse 18. And this is in the middle of the chapter, so we'll bring a message that'll be about what's in chapter 21 here. Revelation 21 and verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 will be our text. Now, in just a moment after you find that, we'll stand together. And would you please join me when we read the even verses 16 and 18, and I'll read 15 and 17 for us, okay? Let's stand together in honor of God's good word. And if you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully. It won't be hard to follow along. As we begin reading in verse 15, this is John, who is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And he's speaking here, and he says, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and four cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Dear Father, thank you for your word, what it teaches us, God. Encourage our hearts this morning. And dear Father, I pray if there's one in our midst today who is not going to heaven right now, they don't have that matter of their eternal destiny settled, I pray that through the preaching of your word this morning, the Spirit of God would draw them to salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Bless us to have a wonderful time in your book. God, be with us as we do. Thank you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray it. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
The King of Kings left heaven to become a lonely man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came.
No family, no friends to help at the end. No outs, no substitutes.
Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth. He bore our sins abuse. Yet the hope of all he offered, so outweighed what must be done.
He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won.
He still came just for me. Came, knowing all he would endure, he still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me, he still came, holy, holy, holy.
Early in the morning, our song
singing. God bless you. Wonderful. I want to speak this morning on this subject, our golden home. Our golden home. Dear Father, bless us today. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Oh, and it's personal. It's real. Thank you for coming for me. Thank you for coming for every person in this room. Each one of us could sing that song this morning. He came for me. So we rejoice in that truth. Now please help me as we open the wonderful words of life, the greatest book ever written, the greatest book ever given to mankind. Speak to our hearts from it this morning. Heavenly Father, I'll pray for your help and thank you for it. I don't want to do anything to, Lord, mess up what you want to do in this service. So please have control. In Christ's name I pray. And amen. The economy, unemployment, the bailout, Iran, Iraq, Venezuela, Russia, swine flu, national health care, on and on it goes. Gas goes up, groceries go up, electricity goes up, taxes go up, sicknesses and sorrows increase, the stimulus is out there. All this stuff. Can I just remind us this morning that we're not home? We're not home. You say, I don't feel as comfortable down here as I used to. We're not home. This is not home. This is not home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Yes, dear saint of God, there is a home beyond this one that we affectionately call heaven. Isn't that a wonderful word? Isn't it a better reality? And heaven is our home. This does not give us an excuse to carelessly go through this world and not be prudent and disciplined in all of our affairs. You know, all the time excusing being undisciplined and not being prudent by saying, well, brother, bless God, I got a home beyond this one and that's where I'm headed and I don't give a rip about what goes on down here. I don't think that's the attitude a child of God should possess. But at the same time, friend, the reality of a wonderful home called heaven should keep us encouraged. It should keep us excited. It should keep us enthusiastic on our journey through this world. This is not our final resting place. Revelation 21 and 22, we have some descriptions of our future home. Let me talk to you about some of those this morning as a preaching on our golden home. And let me start right there. Number one, heaven is a golden home. It is a golden home. Now, we have long been blessed by the fact that the street of that place is pure gold. You see that in verse 21. Look at it, verse 21, chapter 21, and verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. Now watch this. As it were, transparent glass. Notice that. But not only the truth is, folks, that not only is the New Jerusalem is the street of pure gold, but the whole New Jerusalem is made of pure gold. Look at verse 18. We read it. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Not just the street, but the entire city was pure gold, transparent glass, clear glass. You see, John the Apostle was stranded on the Isle of Patmos, and on that island he was allowed to see into the future, and he saw the state of the new heaven and the condition and state of the new earth and the city called the New Jerusalem. And that city comes down from heaven to the new heaven, to the new earth. And the Bible says that not only is the street made of pure gold, but the entire city is made of pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. You say, now, Pastor, I did a study on gold one time, and the encyclopedias tell us that the color of pure gold is yellow. Yellow. But here, God said it was transparent glass. Clear glass. Well, the truth of the matter is, folks, let me remind you that the gold man knows about comes from this earth. The source of that gold is
this earth, and can I say this morning, this earth is cursed by sin. And the best man can know about pure gold is from a source that is cursed. You with me this morning? For years, South Africa was the nation of our world that produced the most gold. But because of government red tape and all that over there, and government instability in some cases, and all kinds of stuff that makes it difficult to get the gold out of those mines, China actually surpassed South Africa as the number one gold producing nation. The United States of America and Australia and Peru are other countries that produce a lot of gold. And the best that man can dig out of those places, the best that man can find. I found a picture this week, and I saw a picture of a humongous piece of gold that was mined, oh my gracious, out of one of the states out west. Just an American out with a what do they call that thing? Metal detector, yes. Came across this humongous piece of gold. And it was very yellow in color. But let me say this. The very best that man can produce from those gold mines comes from a source that is cursed. This earth is cursed. But friend, in the new heaven and on the new earth and in the city of the new Jerusalem, the curse will be lifted. There will be no curse in those places. And if God says that the gold of the new heaven and the new earth in the new Jerusalem is transparent, clear glass, then that's what it is. Yeah. Not mined out of a source that is corrupt. The truth of the matter is that even gold here on the earth, mined from a corrupt source like Mother Earth, will not oxidize in air or water, so it keeps its pure condition forever. And the Bible talks about this being a city, a place of pure gold, a whole city made of gold. And that is, friend, going to be our eternal home. You say, Pastor, it's been a financial struggle for me down here all of my life. It's been difficult. I never had real nice cars and I never had expensive things. And I made do with seconds and hand-me-downs and kind of just gotten along in life financially. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're a born-again child of God, you're headed to a home that is made of pure gold. We're going to walk on the stuff that people kill for here on this earth. Amen. Walk on it. Whole city's made of it. I think I've told you that story before about the man who was a miser. And boy, he hoarded wealth into himself and cash money and gold and precious stones and jewels and silver. And he died. He went to heaven and had a bag in his hand. And St. Peter met him at the gate and he said, "What have you got in your bag?" And he said, "Oh, I couldn't leave this behind." He said, "Well, what's in it?" He said, "Is I supposed to bring anything into heaven?" He said, I couldn't come without this. Just had to bring this." Peter said, "Well, I'm going to have to look at it." Security, right? Okay, amen. Security. You have to empty your bag. And so he reached in and got a big old chunk of gold out of his bag and put it up and held it up there like it was something precious. And Peter had a quizzical look on his face and he looked at him and he said, "Pavement?" I say, friend, the honest truth of the matter is we don't believe that, but that'd be like you and me hanging on to a piece of asphalt and making a big deal out of a piece of old asphalt. We're headed to a golden home where not just the street, but the whole city is made out of that stuff. That's your home, friend. It's where you're going one of these days. Heaven is a golden home. That place is called our home. And I didn't even think about it until Brother Tom was singing it this morning. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. That's what it's called. So it's a golden home. Number two, I was thinking this morning from this passage, thinking this week, not only is heaven a golden home, but heaven is God's presence. Heaven is God's presence. Look at verse number 22. Interesting verse here. The Bible says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." So there's no temple there. Now what was the temple? Well, the temple was the place in the Old Testament where the saints of God went to worship Him. They would go to sing and they would go to sacrifice and they would go to worship their God. But friend, there won't be a need for a temple building to go to worship God when we get to heaven, because God Himself And Jesus Himself will be in that golden city. And we won't go to a place to worship them. We'll just worship them around the clock, anywhere, any place, anytime. The singing and the worshiping God will go on and on and on and on and on and on. I love it when the choir sings as they did a few Sunday mornings ago. That newer song, Bow the Knee, and such beautiful accompaniment by our instruments. And Elizabeth plays the violin on that. And we sing Bow the Knee. And the song talks about, as we start praying and we go into the presence of God and the awe of God receiving us into His presence. When we pray is simply overwhelming. But friend, when we get to that golden home, we won't go into His presence. We will never go from His presence because He is there. You say, now, Brother Angel, I thought that one of the attributes of God right now was His omnipresence. That God is everywhere. In Psalm 139, the psalmist was talking about the fact that I can't go anywhere where God is not. And that's true. He is omnipresent right now. I understand that God is omnipresent right now, meaning He is everywhere, all at the same time. And we cannot go where God is not. But friend, wait a minute. What the Bible's talking about here in Revelation 21 is in the sense of worship and adoration and love and praise. Do you understand that God is present in some places today where they don't worship Him? You understand that God is present where they don't sing praises to Him? You understand that God is present where they don't adore Him? And where they don't love Him? And He's there. His presence is there. God is present where people on earth now are cursing Him. And God is present right now where people on earth are mocking Him with sin and with wickedness. God is there every time a little baby is aborted. That didn't bring Him any glory. God is there every time a drunk takes another drink of liquor and gets all soused up. Takes somebody's life. God is there in those places of business where they perpetrate that stuff and put the bottle to their neighbor's lips. And God is present everywhere on this earth. But that doesn't bring Him any glory. That doesn't bring Him any honor. That doesn't bring Him any praise. God is present where music is played that defies Him. Mocks Him and sneers at His holiness and rejects His deity and His person, where His holiness is sneered at. But He is in those places where all sizes and shapes of vice take place, and those vices thumb their nose in the very presence of God, and that's where God has to be today. You understand that? He's everywhere. He's there every time a dope addict shoots up. He's there every time the man who doesn't do dope but makes his income from the dope he sells to the poor addict. That doesn't bring Him any glory. That doesn't bring Him any praise. That doesn't bring Him any honor. That doesn't adore Him and worship Him and love Him. But not in this golden home, friend. No, no, no. The music and the singing and the holiness will all bring Him pleasure and glory. And everything about that golden home will be for Him because He's there. Amen. In glory. There are monuments to people here on this earth. Places that are designed to remind people of certain folks who've made an impact. I'm not against those things. We go to Washington, D.C. every other year with our seniors and have a good time and enjoy the things that we see there. The Washington Monument there in honor of George Washington and the Lincoln Memorial in honor of Abraham Lincoln and Graceland down in Memphis. No, we don't go there. Amen. Down in Memphis, Tennessee. Honor of Elvis. Amen. That place out in California that's in memory of that pitiful person that just came to his eternal reward. And all the huzz and buzz and ado that our country made over Michael Jackson is an abomination to God. Oh yeah. But friend, those monuments are places in memory of one who's now dead and gone. That golden home is all about God and Jesus Christ. And they will be there. And you and I will live in their presence. Now, I don't know what you're going to do if you don't like singing. I don't know what you're going to do if you don't like praising. I don't know what you're going to do if you don't like glorifying God once in a while. I don't know what you're going to do there. I got an idea that you're going to be just kind of joining right in on that day. Amen. There won't be any restraint in that place. We won't go into His presence. We'll be in His presence. There's a difference in that. Amen. And so heaven is a golden place, and heaven is God's presence. But let me say, number three this morning, that heaven is glorious light. Heaven is glorious light. Look at verse number 23. As we read on in this chapter here, not only is heaven a golden home, not only is heaven God's presence, but verse number 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, there's no sun, no moon in that place. God gave us the sun to light the day, and God gave us the moon to light the night. But there is no need of those stars in this golden home. Why? The glory of God is there, and the glory of Jesus Christ is there, and the glory of God and the glory of His Son Jesus will provide all the light that we'll ever need in that wonderful place. This is not the light of a created star, friend. That's what the sun is. That's what the moon is, a reflection of that sun. This is not the light of something that's created. This is the light that emanates. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. John chapter 1. This is the light that just emanates. God doesn't have to be holy. He is holy. And God doesn't have to love. He is love. And God doesn't have to shine light. He is light. And that's the light that will be in that golden home. The light of His glory will illuminate that whole place. Moses saw that light. You remember that? In fact, all Moses saw was the backside of that light. God would not allow him to see his face. He saw the backside, if you will, the backward parts of the glory of God. And he was up on that mountain for several days. And the Bible says that when he came down off of that mountain, the skin of his face shone. People sometimes go on vacation to places where the sun is, you know, in the summertime, the sun is bright and strong. And when they come back, you can see on their skin that they've been in the sun. When Moses came down off that mountain, the Bible says the skin of his face shone. He was like a walking halogen flashlight. And he approached the people, and the people did like this. They said, Moses, man, you're killing me. You're killing me. And the Bible says that Moses had to take a veil and put it over his face when he was talking to the people because of the light that from the skin of his face that was shining. He had to actually put a veil. That light of the glory of God so illuminated his skin that it shone for days. The people had to cover his face so he could talk with them. We'll all be illuminated by that kind of light in this wonderful place where the light of God's glory will permeate us, friend. Saul of Tarsus caught a glimpse of that light on the road to Damascus. Oh, cruel, mean, wicked Saul of Tarsus, who hailed men and women to prison, broke up church services, arrested dads who were of the following Jesus Christ, and put them in jail, and just wreaked havoc in the churches of God. And boy, as he was traveling along the road to Damascus to go wreck another church service, the Bible says that He saw the heavens opened, and he saw a bright and shining light. It blinded him for several days. In fact, it's my opinion, you don't have to share this opinion, there's nothing to fuss about, but it's my opinion that that's when Paul developed that eye disease that followed him the rest of his life. Because he saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of Jesus Christ. And the light that's in that city is the glory of God. There is no need of the sun. Now, wait a minute. Don't take the sun away. Didn't you rejoice this morning to walk outside and look out there, friend? Man, don't take the sun away from us now. I love a full moon, don't you? Amen. I have to watch Brother Nemeth. He starts chasing parked cars when they have a full moon. I love a full moon. Don't take the sun away from me now. Don't take that moon away from me. We need that. I've been out hunting in the early morning hours before the sun comes up when the moon is so bright, it's like you've got a flashlight from the sky walking all around you. See clear as day. It's a wonderful thing. So don't take the moon and don't take the sun away from us now. But friend, we won't have any need of the sun. There'll be no need of the moon in that day because the glory of God will be the light that illuminates that place. I believe with all of my heart that that light is what many people have seen as they were making their transition from earth to heaven. Do you realize, friend, we've heard those stories, but you understand we've only heard the stories of those who came back. I'm talking about those out-of-body experiences. You say, that's not real. Oh, you better know it's real. I once had time this morning to go into the story of Dick Tompkins out there in Iowa getting electrocuted. And actually felt himself upward through the heavens, actually looked down and saw his body laying on the ground. But he came back. Mrs. Chance there in the hospital. And her feet are blue, and her lips are blue, and her fingers and hands are blue. Her extremities of her body are all blue. And I tried to rouse her, Mrs. Chance, and I really thought this was it. She's gone. Shallow, breathing, just very shallow. And had prayer with her there, even though she couldn't hear me, and went back to the hospital the next day, never got a call through the night that she'd passed on in death, and went back to the hospital the next day, and there she was sitting up in the bed, and the color was back in her hands, and the color was back in her feet, and the color was back in her lips, and I said, Miss Jensen, she was a very simple-minded woman, but she loved God. Oh, she loved God. I said, Miss Jensen, I was here yesterday. Had prayer for you. Your lips were blue. Your hands were blue. Your feet were blue. I thought you were going to heaven. I thought you'd be going to heaven before the morning. Oh, I was, Brother Terry. I was there. I saw it. I saw the trees. I saw the river. I saw the light shining. I was headed toward the light. I was there. I saw it. You say, what do you think she saw? I think she saw the light. I think she saw the trees. I think she saw the river. I think she saw it. I think she was that close. Huh? And then Brian Sharp has the same experience down there. His heart and cardiac arrest being wheeled into that emergency room down there in Missouri, and his pastor, his daddy, falling on his knees and saying, oh God, don't take him now. Oh God, don't take him now. And Brian on that table and felt his spirit leaving his body and said, oh, down this long tunnel and all these faces of people standing there and this bright light way off at the end, and I was rushing towards it, and all of a sudden, boom, I found myself back in that emergency room. Out of body experiences. Real stuff. You say, that sounds too spooky for me. I'm sorry. It doesn't sound spooky for me at all. It sounds real. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, friend. There's no time element here. There's no purgatory. There's no soul sleep. There's no spend a few days bouncing around like Casper the Friendly Ghost in the universe somewhere. No, friend, 10,000 times no. When we say goodbye here, it's hello there. And there's a bright light. And the Bible talks about heaven being a place of glorious light. Glorious light. You listen to these people who've had these out-of-body experiences, and sometimes they see trees, and sometimes they see rivers, and sometimes they see people, and they never can make out the faces of the people, but they can just see people's faces. And they're not all the same until it comes to that thing of light. And in every one of their testimonies, there's light. That light that emanates and proceeds from the very throne of God. It's not the throne that's illuminated, friend. It's God. He's illuminated. The glory of God lights up. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a golden home. Heaven is a place of God's presence. Heaven is a place of glorious light. This is where we're going, friend. This is where we're headed. Let me say number four this morning, that heaven not only is golden home, not only is heaven God's presence, not only is heaven glorious light, but heaven is sin gone. Now look at verse number 27. Stay with me. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our golden home is a place where sin will not be found. Now, I want you to see this morning as we get ready to wind this thing up, I want you to see that sin is identified as being in people. Listen very carefully. The earth cannot sin. The plant kingdom cannot sin. The animal kingdom cannot sin. The planets and the stars, the sun and the moon, they cannot sin. People sin. The plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and the universe suffer from the curse of Adam's sin, a man's sin, a person's sin. People sin. Sin is found in the nature of people. People that are defiled by sin. People that work abomination. People who make a lie will not be found in that golden home, that place of God's presence, that place of glorious light. People who are defiled by sin and that work abomination and make a lie will not be there. You say, Pastor Angel, that's harsh. I can't help it. That's true. I'm not rejoicing in that this morning, but I'm telling you, that doesn't change the reality of it. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in that place. Without going into a long, extended Bible study this morning, when people come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and receive Him as their personal Savior, their sin is forgiven and covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in the reckoning sheet up in heaven, if you're a born-again child of God, your sheet is clear this morning. The debt of the wages of your sin is paid in full. But that doesn't change the fact that sin's still in us. But when we get to this place, when we get here, our sin nature will be gone. You know why? Because we'll be in a glorified body that has no blood in it. Like Jesus had after the resurrection when He came to the disciples and He said to the disciples, they're scared to death. He says, I'm Jesus, and they're scared to death. And He says, touch me, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. His body was flesh and bone, no blood. And our body will be like His, flesh and bone, no blood, because the life of our sin nature is in our blood. That's why everybody in this room is a sinner. I don't think I've ever had anybody, any adult, a little child one time, have you ever done anything wrong? No. That's what grandmas and grandpas think. I've never talked to a teenager or an adult who said that they were not a sinner, but I have talked to a lot of people who said they're not that bad a sinner. Folks, look, I don't care. Just bear with me for a minute. If it's gambling blood, if it's dope addiction blood, if it's alcohol, if it's loose living, if it's telling white lie blood, if it's stealing your neighbor's pencil blood, it's still sinful blood. And anybody with that kind of blood flowing in their veins when they die is not going to go to this place. Who hasn't had that kind of thing taken care of? This is why Jesus had to shed His blood. Pure blood was spilled for guilty blood. Innocent blood, for evil blood. Innocent blood was spilled for guilty blood. Spotless blood was spilled for spotted blood. That's why He had to die by the shedding of blood. And by the time we get here, we'll be walking in that golden home in God's presence in the glorious light with a body of flesh and bone and no blood, no sin. That's why nothing that defiles will enter in there. Nothing that makes abomination will enter in there. Nothing that makes a lie will enter in there, because the blood is gone. So here's my question. The Bible says only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here's my question this morning. Is your name written there? Is your name written there on the page white and fair in the book of God's kingdom? Is your name written there? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Indicating that there was a day when you confessed to God, I am a guilty sinner and I cannot get myself to heaven. I cannot work my way to heaven. I cannot be good enough to get to heaven. And I realize and believe that Jesus became the sacrifice for my sin. And Jesus, I believe you died, you were buried, and you rose again, and I trust you now as my personal Savior. Huh? Has that happened to you? Because that's the only way your name will ever be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, wait a minute. Let me ease your tension. You don't have to stand up in front of a church crowd and go, Jesus, I'm sorry and wicked and horrible. Save me. You could do that. But I'm going to tell you what you do have to do. You do have to say that in your heart. You got to say that in your heart. Dr. Bob Gray down in Florida, Trinity Baptist Church, years ago, preaching on a Sunday morning when they had a lot of adults and teenage visitors, and he preached a salvation message, and he said this very refined and dignified lady in the finest of clothing just made her way very carefully down the front aisle, and Brother Gray was receiving the people, and he said to her, ma'am, what'd you come for? And she said, I came to be saved. He said, wonderful. Kneel right here by this pew and tell God that you're a wicked, dirty, old, godless sinner and that you need to be saved. And she looked at him and said, oh, I'm not that kind of sinner. He said, then go back to your seat. That's the only kind God saves. I'll tell you what I love to run into. I love to run into people when you give them the gospel and you ask them, don't you want to trust Christ as your Savior? They drop their head and they said, Pastor, Reverend, I've done so much wrong. Deserve salvation. He wouldn't want anybody like me. I got good news, friend. Woo! Glory to God. You're the one He came for. He didn't come for those self-righteous people who need no physician. He came for those who are sick and willing to admit it. I'm sorry and undone and lost and without hope and without God. Please save me. That's who He came for, friend. If you've been bothered in your heart by your sin, if you've been bothered in your heart by your wickedness, in just a few days I'll celebrate the 34th anniversary of the day that I walked an aisle in an old New Testament church and got saved by the grace of God. And I can remember the work that God had done on my heart all afternoon. I felt so low down and guilty. You can't believe how wonderful it was to hear from the Bible that Jesus could take away all that sin and lift up the lowly and raise them up and give them a home in heaven, write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. What good news that was for this old sinner boy. And I'm simply saying this morning, if you've never been saved, friend, you better get saved while you have the opportunity. When you hear the Word of God and you feel the Spirit of God twisting in your heart. Because if you leave this world without salvation, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this, but you will not be in that golden home. You'll not be there. You say, well, where are they? Separated. Separated from the golden home. Separated from the presence of God in Jesus Christ. Separated from the glory of God. Separated from those who are saved. Are you sure you want to be separated from God? Now, Pastor, you know, one of these days I'm going to get it all taken care of. I'm going to get it all figured out. One of these days, when I'm ready, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's ready right now. You don't get saved when you're ready. You get saved when God's ready. To put off receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to put off coming to Christ for salvation, is to say, I'll do that in the future. I'll visit this again, and when I decide to do it, I'll do it. And that's a presumptuous and proud attitude. Unless God comes by and says, hey, it's time to get saved, you won't get saved. So now's the time. And if you're not born into God's family through the experience of the new birth by the Holy Spirit, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, this is the day, this is the hour, this is the moment. I don't care what you came for. I don't care if you've been here for years or if you're brand new to this place. I don't care if you're sitting in the middle of the aisle or on the end of the aisle, in the front row or the back row or in the balcony. If this is the moment the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, now's the time. This is it. You've been thinking about this and you've heard about heaven and you've heard about hell and you've put it off, and now's the time. Don't let that moment pass without expressing your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Going to a golden home. Going to God's presence. Going to a glorious light. I wouldn't want anybody under the sound of my voice to miss that. Nobody. So I trust, friend, that you're saved. Heaven is a place of sin. Gone. Gone. And won't that be a blessed place? A golden home. God's presence. Glorious light and sin gone. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening.